Hi, I'm Cody Fields, and even though this is normally the feed for the Westminster Effects Doxology podcast, I can do what I want because it's my feed, and this is my blog, which you can read at codyfields.com. The link is in the show notes if you want to read it. The title for this one is A Very Seeker-Sensitive Christmas, and it was published December 19th, 2023. Introduction. The time has come, once again, for Christmas services and performances with drummers on zip lines at any one of the 27 services at the Big Eva Multiplex Megachurch and Mini Mall. And though I acknowledge Keith Foskey for the joke, his art is merely imitating reality, and the reality is that our churches have lost their minds as to what Christmas means. Whether it's laser shows and fog machines or Stephen Furtick comparing himself starting a church and feeling nauseous before his first services to the Virgin Mary's theoretical morning sickness while sick with the embryonic Christ, the American church has both lost its mind and its adherence to Scripture. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the Word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God, 2 Corinthians 4:2. Carolina Reaper Spicy. The stated goal of these churches is to reach the lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But in doing so, they have completely capitulated on both methodology and messaging. As regards methodology, the belief is that if they can just wow the unbeliever enough, he'll surely gin up his free will to make a decision for Christ. As regards messaging, it becomes a bastardized version of liberalism, namely, Jesus loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life, and he really isn't all that angry with you for your mistakes in life. I've developed a term over the last couple of days thinking about this. I don't anticipate that it will be used in any academic papers about the megachurch phenomenon, but you may find it useful, if not Carolina Reaper levels of spicy. What these churches are engaged in is materialistic sociological witchcraft. I'll explain each part of the term in turn. Materialistic. Materialism kicks in with the American church with the bogus, semi-Pelagian notion of prevenient grace, which, by the way, is nowhere to be found in Scripture. The basic idea is that Christ's death and or the pouring out of the Holy Spirit upon all flesh, Acts 2:17, has brought every individual person to a spiritually neutral state, whereby each individual now has free agency to choose or not to choose to have faith in Christ. This therefore makes the methodology a purely materialistic effort. All you have to do is appeal to the intellect or the emotions in the right way. One needs not rely on the Spirit of God to do anything, as he's already done all that he can. He's voted for you. Satan's voted against you. Apparently, salvation is democratic, which has horrifying consequences. Leaving alone the problems with the fact that this means Christ's death would have had to have brought those already in hell to some theoretically neutral position at some point, and the fact that faith is a gift, Ephesians 2:8, and the fact that this newly neutral position is nowhere to be found in Scripture, what we find in Scripture is the opposite. We're naturally dead in Adam and cannot please God without faith, which also means that we can't please God by producing faith when we don't have faith, Ephesians 2:1, Hebrews 11:6. If you spin it out, the M of materialistic sociological witchcraft not only doesn't make sense, it contradicts all laws of logic. Sociological. Sociology, the study of human society, has been one of the core tenets of the church growth movement. These churches for decades have conducted studies about what people in the neighborhood would want in a church, from music to teaching to outreach programs, never missing the fact that they're asking goats their opinions of how the flock of sheep should conduct themselves. While well-intentioned, it becomes an appeasement method. Am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a slave of Christ, Galatians 1:10, while also ignoring that it is Christ who builds his church, Matthew 16:18. It also ignores that the church is made of believers, and Sundays are for their benefit. After all, those who don't believe yet are totally incapable of worship in the first place, 1 Corinthians 12:3. Witchcraft. By witchcraft, I don't mean that pastors are in their offices playing with Ouija boards and getting mediums to conjure the spirit of Billy Graham, only for the medium to be surprised that it actually worked, and Graham telling this hypothetical pastor that the Muslims will take over the church building on the morrow. Let the reader understand. What I mean is that this is the same notion as Fauci scientism. All the world is the same stuff, and by pressing these buttons, pulling these levers, and burning the toenail clippings of a three-week-old calf, not 2 or 4 weeks, and 5 is right out, we can expect certain results. God's sovereignty be damned, this is about us imposing our will on reality, no matter how twisted our wills are. So when we combine a compelling light show, an orgasmic singing voice, and an impassioned sermon that includes 3 points that start with the letter C, of course, we'll average 5.19 hands raised to quote-unquote accept Jesus per each of our 27 services. Salvific D-Day. And as with any addiction to power, the results have been disastrous. The church growth movement has resulted in starving sheep and cratering church attendance, but they keep acting more and more desperate. I'm just waiting for the day that Ed Young literally jumps the shark during a sermon. We must reckon with the fact that to treat the gospel in this way is to tacitly admit that Christ didn't really accomplish all that much in his life, death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. The Christ child was not received with strobe lights and tap dancing. The incarnation was redemptive history's Normandy invasion, replacing boats and bombs with the Son of God's umbilical cord being cut and the afterbirth cleaned off his skin before nursing at Mary's breast, all while upholding the universe by the word of his power. That baby then grew into a man who never sinned in order to fulfill our righteousness, and he suffered in order to bring many sons to glory. And he rose for our justification, and he ascended to intercede for us and to rule all of creation with every ounce of authority in existence. How much healthier would our churches and communities be if we simply proclaimed that news and ditched the theatrics? So will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, without accomplishing what pleases me, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. Isaiah 55:11.